10,000 troops? That's it? 10,000 troops? That's all you got? Oh, brother. Hey, it's the Molloy Show, and welcome to it, Truth Seekers. It is I, your friendly citizen, investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, and all-around swell fella. I should probably add wiseacre to that. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com, once again, drafted into duty to be your broadcast media for just one more night. Tonight, until Mike Molloy returns. That's right. I always try to start off the show with some good news. There's your good news. Got it out of the way. The Molloys are back tomorrow, and there was much rejoicing. Their summer break will be over, and both Mike and Kathy will be back on board. Until then, you got me once again for one more night, broadcasting live from the left coast out here in beautiful downtown Burbank. The Hollywood, at the foot of the Hollywood Hills. It's a beautiful evening, afternoon, whatever the hell it is out here now in California. So glad you could join us for it for the next three jam-packed hours of excitement and fun and nothing but good news. Okay, I lied about that. But you know, Molloys are coming back. That's good news. And now everything goes downhill from here. The word tomorrow President Obama will be making his address to the nation concerning his promise to begin the withdrawal from Afghanistan. And he has, we don't yet know how many folks are going to be withdrawn, but the word that I've been hearing all day is 10,000 troops. Now, we got about 100,000 there, and I think when he came in, we had something like 70,000 there. So by the end of the year, we will be down to only 20,000 more troops than what we had when he came in, if those numbers are right. Neat, huh? I'm going to let you know in a second what you could have had this year, but for the $113 billion that we used to pay for this war in Afghanistan, a war that I have no idea what it's about. Do you? 877-520-1150 is our number tonight. Write it down. You're going to want to get in. I'm going to try to keep things as open as I can to you, to enjoy your public airwaves. Which these are, and you need to use them before you lose them more than you already have. Not going to take calls immediately, but write it down. We will a little bit later, 877-520-1150. Also, please come on by the bradblog.com chat room. We would love to see you there. Folks are coming in now. Macabre, Gigi, Mommy, Shano. Let's see. Catfish Blues is there. And, of course, the lovely Desi Doyen and the lovely Jeannie Dean are currently your chat room hostesses. They would love to say hello. Oh, speaking of Desi Doyen, she is going to be joining us on the show, on this very program, in the next hour, live and in studio, to talk about, some green stuff, among other things, to talk about some presidential candidates and their bizarre, insane positions on global warming and climate change. If it wasn't so sad, it would be quite funny. So we're going to be talking to her about that and other green issues. She is my co-host on the Green News Report. And if your radio station, your progressive radio station, if you're lucky enough to hear us, she and I do the Green News Report a couple of times a week, a 6-minute feature, independent green news, politics, and snarky comment. So we'll have a whole lot of snarky comment coming up in the next hour with Desi Doyen. You can also Twitter us on the Twitters at The Brad Blog. We would love to see from you there. You can follow me 24/7, of course, on the Twitters at The Brad Blog. Send me photos of your junk. That's just fine. I am The Brad Blog over on the Twitters. Oh, and Desi, if you want to get her attention, sending her whatever you want, she is Green News Report over on the Twitters. Got it? All the business out of the way? Okay. Let me see what else. Okay. Lots of stuff here. Since it's our last night on the show for a while, I've got all the stuff that's been piling up for the past week since we've been sitting in for Mike that I haven't gotten to because so much stuff is constantly breaking and driving me crazy. And driving you crazy. So I've got all of this stuff to try to catch up to that I haven't gotten to over the past week. So wish me luck there. So we're going to have a grab bag tonight, including one of the things that we need to get to is Wisconsin. Because last time I was on the show, I was guest hosting back in April, I think it was. Back in April, the Wisconsin Supreme Court election had just broken. Broken is the right word, actually. Had just begun to fall apart. 14,000 ballots appeared out of nowhere in Waukesha County, which led to a recount. And the remarkable tale, which if you weren't reading bradblog.com, you probably didn't hear about. If you were reading the media, the Wisconsin media, you probably didn't hear about. You probably didn't hear about what all happened in that recount. And I put that in quotes, recount, because if you don't count the ballots in the first place, it's hard to call it a recount when you finally do count them for the first time. No, they had the paper ballots and they ran them through the machine on election night, but nobody bothered to check if even a single one of them was counted correctly. So I will be talking about that in a little bit, and we need to talk about that because in Wisconsin, in a couple weeks, while I'll be gone, one of them is even on my birthday, I think, these state Senate recall elections will begin, will get underway. And the nightmare starts again. And it will begin again in January when they start talking about recalling Governor Scott Walker. And then, of course, it will continue throughout 2012 in state after state, primary after primary, election after election on electronic voting machines that don't work, that are easily manipulated. Yes, the rise of the machines continues. America's failed experiment in e-voting presses forward. So we're going to talk about that in a little while. What else do I have to tell you about? All right, well, let me just get to some of these things. Obama is going to keep his promise to begin withdrawing some troops in July of 2011. He's going to talk about it tomorrow night. And if we assume the 10,000 troops are going to come out by the end of the year, as I said, that leaves us about 20,000 more than were there when he came in. Some of them my family members, I should add. Yes, I do have skin in this game. But, okay, so for the $113 billion that we have spent this year in Afghanistan alone, never mind all of the other wars that we are continuing to stay in, but just in Afghanistan alone, $113 billion, what we could have had. And now pay attention, Tea Partiers. Pay attention, because this show tonight, this show is for you. Because the fact of the matter is, until you people realize how you have been hoaxed, misinformed, played for suckers, played for chumps, we're never going to get out of this mess. Yes, we need you on board. We need you to, have some real information instead of the lies and the misinformation that you've been given by Fox News and by 98% of what you hear on the corporate airwaves. So here's some truth. Here's what we could have had we not spent $113 billion this year on Afghanistan alone. We could have provided 57.5 million children with low-income health care for 2011. Or we could have provided 23 million people with low-income health care coverage in 2011. So 57.5 million children or 23 million regular non-children people, adults, okay. We could give 20.2 million students Pell Grants for $5,500 each in 2011. That's 20 million Americans, 20.2 million Americans we could have sent to school to educate them, to help improve the society that you and I live in. Yes, that you and I, Teabagger, live in together. The society that we're in, that I believe you want educated people to live in with you. I think 20 million we could have sent to college. We could have provided 14.35 million military veterans with a VA medical care in 2011. We could have given 14.7 million children Head Start funding in 2011. We could have given 14.26 million scholarships to university students in 2011. These are all things we could have done instead of the $113 billion that we threw down the Afghanistan hole this year for a war that nobody even knows what we're fighting for there. Oh, we could have employed 1.93 million firefighters. Remember them? Those were the guys that you Tea Partiers used to call your heroes after 9/11. You called them the bravest people in the world that we need to take care of our first responders. Those are the folks we're now laying off because of budget cuts. Because, in no small part, of the $113 billion that we're wasting in Afghanistan. Yeah, almost 2 million firefighters. We could have hired 1.75 million elementary school teachers, or we could have hired 1.65 million police officers in 2011. We could have equipped 67.8 million households with the ability to use wind power in 2011. Could have gotten rid of all, how much oil could we have begun to get rid of? How much coal could we have begun to get rid of? 67 million households. We could have equipped with the ability to use wind power in 2011 alone for the cost of the war in Afghanistan. Finally, we could have equipped 25.4 million households with the ability to use solar photovoltaic energy in 2011. And instead, we're out there fighting. What are we fighting for? I don't even know what the hell we're fighting for out there in Afghanistan. But the good news is 10,000 of them are coming home. Let another 90,000 of them are going to stay in harm's way out there for God knows how long. Brilliant. Okay, a whole lot more straight ahead and all the good news, right? There's got to be something good. You're listening to Brad on the Mike Malloy Show. We're on the eve of destruction. Don't you understand what I'm trying
to driving that train, I'm cocaine. Casey Jones, you better watch your speed. Trouble ahead.
Yeah, a lot of trouble ahead. You might want to stop by the bradblog.com chat room. We figured out sometime last night how to run video out of there. So maybe I'll turn on the video cameras in here, or maybe I won't. That will either get you there or it'll keep you away. I don't know. Good luck to you. Stop on by. Say hi to Dez and Jeannie Dean and everybody else in the bradblog.com chat room. Brad in for Mike Malloy. Okay, I'm going to get to Wisconsin in a second. But on a related topic, I do need to get this in. John Huntsman. As you probably heard, if you've ever heard of him, he jumped in the race today. John Huntsman, the former Utah governor, who then served for the last 2 years or so as Obama's ambassador to China. He's now getting in the race and he's being mean to Obama, isn't he? He's kind of I won't use the word, but so he jumped in the race. But I need to let folks know this because we had on a Republican presidential candidate in studio last week, Fred Karger, who you probably have not heard of unless you heard this show. He filed an official complaint against Mitt Romney up in Massachusetts because it appears that Mitt Romney committed voter fraud in the state of Massachusetts. He was, he's got a house in California now, he's got a house in New Hampshire, and he was apparently registered at his son's basement, the basement of his son's house, and he went ahead and voted last year. That was not his real residence, and Massachusetts law is very clear on that, so Fred Karger filed a complaint against Mitt Romney for voter fraud in Virginia. These things are important because, as I hope the listeners here know, the Republicans have been going in state after state, putting in voter suppression laws in order to keep you, yes, you, from being able to cast your legal vote. These photo ID restrictions. They're claiming there's an epidemic of voter fraud that Democrats are somehow participating in. Of course, whenever they pass these laws, they can never show any actual examples of voter fraud committed at the polling place by voters, you know, impersonating someone else. And yet they're using that claim to disenfranchise some 20 million Americans who don't have the type of photo IDs that are now being required in these states. Well, you got Mitt Romney, who committed voter fraud, apparently, in the state of Massachusetts. And now we have John Huntsman, the former Utah governor, who appears to have done the same thing. After he left the Utah governor's mansion, he moved out to China to become the ambassador out there, as I said, and he stayed registered at the governor's mansion despite the fact that he had resigned. And he has been registered at the governor's mansion for some 2 years and voting from there despite the fact that he no longer lives there, which, of course, if he was a Democrat, would get him thrown in jail. Now, you might say, well, that was the last place he lived. Where is he supposed to register? Okay, fair enough. But he bought a house in last June. He bought a house in Washington, D.C., a lovely house. I think it's a few million. Yes, $3.6 million home in a Tony, D.C. neighborhood. And yet he went ahead and voted last November, months after he had purchased his house in D.C. He went ahead and voted last November in Utah anyway, still registered at a house where he did not live, the governor's mansion. As I said, had he been a Democrat, that would have been enough to throw him in jail. So that's John Huntsman and Mitt Romney. Keep that in mind next time they tell you about voter fraud, next time they start complaining about Acorn, who has never committed voter fraud, not evidence of a single improper vote ever, fraudulent vote ever cast due to an improper registration by an Acorn worker. Keep that in mind. Keep in mind that Secretary of State of Indiana, Charlie White, right now is under 7 felony indictments, 3 of them related to voter fraud for having voted in a place where he does not live. And he may be thrown out of the job of Secretary of State in the state of Indiana with the most draconian photo ID restrictions in the nation. Much more straight ahead. Brad in from Molloy. Show, don't look at me like that, Tony. I'll sing if I damn well want to. Don't have much left in this world. At least we can still sing. Speaking of not having much left in this world, this story, perhaps the most heartbreaking story I've ever heard. This guy who robbed a bank for $1 so he could go to jail and get health care. I'll be talking about that in the next hour. Unbelievable. Anyway, Wisconsin, democracy. Oh, yeah, I remember that. Wisconsin has these elections coming up, these recall elections coming up, all coming out of earlier in February of this year, the uprising, my heroes who uprose in the took over the Wisconsin state capitol up there in Madison. Fighting to keep their rights, fighting to keep the rights that big government was taking away from them, that big government was legislating away from them. The very same thing that the Tea Partiers act like they give a damn about, the same thing that the Tea Partiers act like they're troubled by. It actually happened in Wisconsin. And the Tea Partiers, of course, either didn't know, didn't care, or just, you know, looked the other way while it happened. Well, a lot of people didn't look the other way. And amidst this fight, amidst this battle from Republican Governor Scott Walker implementing this this union stripping bill, this bill that took away the rights for collective bargaining from citizens, from citizens, rights from citizens. Amidst that came this election, this Wisconsin Supreme Court election, which nobody had really given much thought about. And the incumbent Republican Justice David Prosser, he was up for election. He was going to win as of February. He probably would have won by 25, 30 points had it not been for this uprising that occurred. And suddenly people realized, oh, wait, this Justice David Prosser, he's an old colleague of Governor Scott Walker's. He has promised fealty to Scott Walker and to the Republican agenda. And they realized that you had an independent Assistant Attorney General, Joanne Kloppenburg, who was running against him. And the court was currently stacked 4-3 in favor of right-wingers, conservatives, folks like David Prosser, although David Prosser is perhaps the most radical of the four Republicans or right-leaning justices. And they thought, okay, well, here's a chance. We can do something about it. We can actually change the balance of the Supreme Court from 4-3 in favor of the right-leaning folks to 4-3 in favor of the not right-leaning folks. And so the unions came in. They started putting a whole bunch of money into Joanne Kloppenburg's election. And on election night, and this was the, it happened when we were on the air last time in April. It was April 5th. The election happened and Joanne Kloppenburg was victorious. She overcame a, I don't know, a 25, 30 point lead by David Prosser with all of this outside money from the unions that came in on one side, from the Republicans that came in supporting Prosser on the other side. And on election night, according to the numbers that were reported, Joanne Kloppenburg, out of 1.5 million votes cast, Kloppenburg defeated Prosser by some 204 votes. Incredibly thin margin. Obviously, that was not going to stay the same as of election night, but that's what it was. 204 votes in favor of Joanne Kloppenburg on election night. And in Wisconsin, they use paper ballots across the entire, for most, not the entire, but for most of the state, uses hand-marked paper ballots. That's good. The bad thing is they don't bother to actually count them. They just run them through electronic voting systems, electronic optical scan systems made by companies like Diebold and Sequoia and ESNS and Populex and all of these op-scan machines that have been shown in election after election are prone to error, are prone to malfunction, and are easily hacked, are easily gamed. So at a 204-vote margin out of 1.5 million cast, it was clear there was going to be a recount. Well, before that recount could happen, before the election was even canvassed, was even certified, the original election, and before a single ballot was actually examined to make sure that the op-scan systems had counted them correctly, because in Wisconsin, they don't do that. In Wisconsin, they do no post-audit, post-election audits, spot checks of the ballots. Whatever Diebold says, whatever Sequoia, ESNS, whatever these op scan systems tell them, whatever the computers tell them, that's what they believe it. They trust it. They go with it. Unless there's a recount. And unless in that recount, the candidates go to court and demand that in the recount, the paper ballots be actually counted by hand. Otherwise, they just run them through the same electronic machines all over again. So Joanne Kloppenburg on April 5th. The night of April 5th had a 204-vote lead. 2 days later, in the county of Waukesha, the county clerk, an activist Republican, a former colleague of David Prosser's, a former colleague of Scott Walker's by the name of Kathy Nicholas, now the county clerk of Waukesha County, the most Republican, one of the most Republican counties out of Wisconsin's 72 counties, certainly the largest Republican county, I believe, in the state. Kathy Nicholas comes out and says, oh, guess what? I have news. 14,000 ballots that were cast on election day. I just forgot to include them in the totals that I reported on election night. Now, Kathy Nicholas had come under fire for some time. Kathy Nicholas had been, we'd been covering her at the Brad Blog for about a year prior, because it turned out she was doing all sorts of unusual things. For example, she would keep election results on the computer in her own, in her office, where nobody else could oversee them. This alarmed even the county executives of Waukesha County, the Republican county executives. They decided to have an audit of Kathy Nicholas and of her election procedures. And in that audit, they found some 26 items, some 26 recommendations that they said that she should take. So, for example, the three people in her office that had access to this computer, they all used the same user ID and password. So if something happened on the computer, you couldn't tell who did it, if it was one of these three, because they all used the same one. So in January of this year, the executive body told Kathy Nicholas, you need to make changes here. And she laughed. She scoffed at them, to the point where the head of the executive committee stood up and said, what the hell are you doing, Kathy? Why are you laughing? This is damn serious. Well, anyway, she said she would consider some of those changes. Now the clock moves forward. April 5th, we have the election. 2 days after that, April 7th, at 5:30 p.m. in the evening, Kathy Nicholas announces she has found 14,000 votes that she did not include on election night. And, of course, we just have to trust her, because no one is actually able to oversee her numbers. She doesn't break them down by ward. She doesn't break them down by municipality in her county. She just gives the media a big old number at the end of the night. No citizen oversight is allowed. And off it goes. And it's either correct or it's not correct. Well, those 14,000 votes that she said she found from the city of Brookfield reversed the result of the election. And her former colleague, David Prosser, the incumbent Justice David Prosser, who had been the loser, turns out, she says, to be the winner across the state by some 7,500 votes. The total, as it would turn out, would be just under the amount required, 0.488%, just under the half a percent needed for the states to pay for a recount of the entire state. And in fact, Joanne Kloppenburg asked for that recount. But before that point, Kathy Nicholas said, well, the reason I didn't include him on April 5th, on the night of April 5th, was because I forgot to hit the save button. I had those numbers, but I forgot to hit the save button, except there is, as we learned, no save button in the program that she was using, Microsoft Access. She also wouldn't explain why it was that she discovered this problem, this error, on Wednesday morning after the election, but didn't tell anybody about it, including her own canvassing board and including the state government accountability board, the state officials, the top election agency in the state. She didn't tell them about it. She didn't tell her own board about it until this press conference happened at 5:30 in the evening on April 7th. Why? We still don't know. But that's what happened. And it led to the third recount, just the third in the history of the state, in the history of the state of Wisconsin. The third statewide recount. I think the one before it had been in 1985. Prior to that, it had been sometime in the 1800s. And instead of counting by machine, the candidates were able to go to court and get an agreement to count by hand in just 31 of the 72 counties. Because in 31 of those counties, the OpScan systems they used, if they had counted by machines, they would have had to wipe out the initial election night totals on the memory cards, because they don't make new memory cards for these machines because they're so old and they're so crappy and they just don't manufacture them anymore. So they had 30 hand counts in 31 of the 72 counties, including Waukesha and including some of the other large counties like Milwaukee and Dane, where the capital is, Madison. And the way it works in Wisconsin is that the recounts happen in each county separately, 72 different counties. And in each county, they take minutes during the recount. So if the candidates have attorneys or observers there who wish to file an objection, I object to this ballot being counted, that objection is noted for the record in the minutes. And later, after the recount is done, if the candidate decides to go to court, then they can go use the minutes and say, look, we objected to this and that. But other than that, they pretty much count everything, except when it comes to absentee ballots, where there are very specific rules about ballots that should be counted and should not be counted. So during the course of the race, a lot of the absentee ballots were taken out. But on the other ballots, the ones that were cast on election day, the ones that showed up, for example, from the city of Brookfield, where 14,000 ballots were said to have been not counted on election day, or not reported on Election Day. When they opened the ballot bags in the city of Brookfield, when they took them out into the Waukesha County recount, where Kathy Nicholas oversaw those ballots for the 3 weeks prior until the recount started, when they brought those ballots out, the ballot bags were wide open. Plastic ballot bags with these little zip seals on the top that have numbers on the seal and a number on the bag that are supposed to match. Well, the ballots from Waukesha's city of Brookfield were wide open. So wide open that the board of canvassers that were overseeing the recount said these are wide open. They put it in the minutes and we can reach our hand in and pull out as many ballots as you want. And we've got the pictures at bradblog.com. They didn't run them a lot in the Wisconsin media, but we've got them at bradblog.com. Because I was, you know, speaking to folks on the ground there, and they were alarmed by what they were seeing. Open ballot bags, serial numbers that didn't match, where they were written on the bag and they were different from the one on this little plastic zip seal. Serial numbers that were scratched out, plastic bags that were ripped open, plastic bags that were duct taped. Thousands and thousands of ballots were miscounted, we learned, from what they had on election night. Thousands and thousands. Now, of course, the media reported it as, well, there was just 300 votes that changed. 300 votes Prosser, Kloppenburg gained on Prosser. Well, no, it was actually thousands of votes were miscounted. Because you see, what they do is if there's 50 votes miscounted in one ward in favor of Kloppenburg, and in the next ward over there was 49 votes that she loses, well, that one vote she gained, they'll say, Kloppenburg just gained one vote. That's all. Other than that, it was almost a perfect count. Well, in fact, thousands and thousands of votes were miscounted. With open ballot bags that no one to this day can tell you if they were the ballots that were actually cast on Election Day. Chain of custody is completely broken. I spoke with Kloppenburg after this all came to an end, and I said, do you know if those were the ones that were cast on Election Day? She said, I don't. Much more straight ahead. This is The Molloy Show.
All on that day, will I run to the rock? Please hide me and run to the rock. Please hide me around the rock.
This is my democracy. You won't go telling me my vote don't matter anymore.
No, you won't. You can try. It'll do you no good. All right, welcome back to the Mike Molloy Show. Brad Friedman of Bradblog.com in here, trying to give you a heads up, Wisconsin, trying to give you a heads up as to what's coming as these state recall elections are coming up. Six Republican state senators are up. Three Democratic state senators are up for re-election this coming, July, I think. Oh, brother. July 12th, I think, is the first of them. The Republicans are already putting up fraudulent candidates in the Democratic elections so they can force a primary so that the actual recall doesn't happen until a month later. They've even admitted it. They've admitted that they are putting up fake candidates just to force, just to give themselves an extra month to force a primary. This after thousands and thousands of signatures were found to be fraudulent in the signature gathering process to get the Democratic state senators on the ballot. Thousands of fraudulent signatures that they had to throw out. Election fraud, there you go. In this recount that took place in Waukesha County and across the state, we found problems in county after county, but of course, particularly in Waukesha. Like I say, you can go to Bradblog, search for Waukesha, you'll find it. Thousands of ballot bags, thousands of ballots in open ballot bags, wide open, no chain of custody whatsoever. Joanne Kloppenburg told me that there is no way, that she doesn't know if the ballots counted during the recount were the same ones counted on election night. Nobody can know because the chain of custody was completely broken. When I asked the Government Accountability Board, the GAB, how they know that the ballots being counted are the same ones that were cast on election day, they said, well, we don't know, actually. But we think they are probably because The poll tapes were pretty much the same as what they're counting. Now, never mind that Kathy Nicholas had them in her possession for 3 weeks, could have done anything she wanted with them. The poll tapes pretty much matched the count. Except for that poll tape in the village of Pewaukee, the one that had that showed official results as printed out, as dated at least, 7 days before the actual election. We've got that tape over at Brad Blog, too. It's dated March 30, 2011. 7 days before the April 5th, 2011 election. But we can count on the poll tapes. We can count on what was printed out by the computers on election night as long as the ballots match up to that, right? Nobody has been able to explain that in Waukesha County. And then in city after city, at least three in two different counties, the touchscreen votes, they were supposed to print out a paper trail. Well, the people had the paper in backwards, and they didn't print out at all. But guess what? Nobody noticed. So when they tell you that, oh, these 100% unverifiable touchscreen votes are perfectly verifiable because the voters confirm them before they hit the cast vote button, they don't. As I've been telling you for years, they don't. And we have proof in Wisconsin where they weren't even printing out properly, and nobody complained. Do we have a problem here, Wisconsin? Do we have a problem here, United States of America, where all of these very same systems are used across this country that make it impossible for citizens to oversee their own elections? Don't tell me we have to wait for a recount 3 weeks from now when the ballots have gone out of the chain of custody. Count them on election night in front of the public. So we can know that we have democracy in each polling place. Count them. Post the results before those ballots move anywhere. Wisconsin was a disaster. It was any other country in the world, they would laugh. That was not democracy. And yet, that's what's going to be coming to the Badger State in just a few weeks all over again. We need everyone on board. All right, the phones are lit up. I'm going to go to your calls right after this. Brad in for Mike Malloy. Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy here one more night. Yes, it is I, your friendly citizen investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, wiseacre, all-around swell fellow from bradblog.com, drafted into duty for one more night during the Malloy's summer break. They will be back with you tomorrow night, so never fear. Rejoice. Let's see. So we're here for one more night, and our phone number is 877-520-1150. Brad Casting from the beautiful studios of K-Talk AM 1150, sitting here in Stephanie Miller's chair. Shh, don't tell her I was here. She'll be mad. You can also stop by the chat room where I have been turning on and off the video camera throughout the night, just to scare the nice people. So stop by bradblog.com and click through, and you'll find the chat room and participate. A lot of lively folks there. Coming up, I'm hoping in this hour, the lovely Desi Doyen will be joining us. So stay tuned for that. And a bunch of people called in during that last half hour, and I thank you for being on hold. I'm going to try to get right to you here to talk about what I was talking about, that Wisconsin recount, which was a laughable joke of a recount, in quotes, recount, where ballot bags were open, chain of custody completely broke, poll tapes were printed 6 days before the actual election, you know, showing the results for some odd reason. Hundreds of ballots out of the chain of custody, duct tape on some of these ballot bags, serial numbers missing, crossed off. If this was a third world country, we would have the U.S. would have not recognized that as a legitimate election. But that's what we have now in these United States, certainly in Wisconsin, where there will be state Senate recall elections coming up in just a few weeks under this very same system. And by the way, though that recount finished about a month ago, the most controversial county, Waukesha County, where those 14,000 votes suddenly appeared 2 days after the election and changed the results of the election, Waukesha County has still not turned in their minutes. The documentation of the recount with the objections from the candidates, from, the descriptions of what was seen, the description of these opened and ripped open bags, the objections from the candidates, some 800 plus exhibits. We talked to the state election authority, the GAB, and they said, we don't have them. Waukesha hasn't given them to us yet. Every other county in Wisconsin has had them posted for about a month. Waukesha still hasn't, and yet the Government Accountability Board actually signed off on this election, certified it as accurate and correct. Go figure. All right, let me fly through some of these calls because I got a lot I want to get to tonight, but I know a lot of you have been waiting for a while. So make your comments as quick as you can so we can cover everything before they throw us off the air for another few months until they have us back again. Dave in Humboldt County. Hey, is that our old friend Dave from Humboldt?
It is indeed, Brad.
Hey.
A very intelligent man you are, and you have been looking at these election irregularities for a long time. And I know you don't like us to say anything that's going to discourage people from going to their polling place and voting, and I don't want to either. If they're going to steal the election, make them do it. Don't us just give up on the idea that they're probably going to. But I have one thing for you, and that is, in a democracy.
Look, Dave, it's up to you if you want to vote. Frankly, I don't care if folks vote or not. If they want to vote, vote. But if you're going to vote, you should be allowed to vote, and your vote should be counted and counted accurately. That's and in a way that we can know it was counted accurately, that the citizens can oversee it. Okay,
for
sorry
sure.
to bother. Go ahead.
For sure. Well, the one thing, Brad, in an intelligent, educated democracy, people don't put in office people that are out to screw them to benefit the billionaires. They just don't do that. And then they don't reelect them if they did make the mistake one time. That's happening. And that's been the neocons, and now we don't have a big new change with our current
Dave, you know what? We do have an intelligent electorate, but we have a misinformed, a purposely misinformed, fooled, tricked, hoaxed electorate, and that's why they keep putting in these same people who are there to hurt them.
I think that Diebold is deciding these elections for us. That's my opinion.
Well, I can't prove they ain't, and that's the problem. Thanks, Dave. Really good to hear from you. Hope you're doing well out there, my friend.
Thank you, Brad.
All right, brother. Let me go to, Josh in Madison, Wisconsin. We got some Wisconsin folks here online. Hey, Josh, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. What's on your mind, brother?
For one thing, I got to say you're very entertaining to listen to, very interesting point of view. I'm going to be very civil. I hope we can disagree and, you know, that and be civil. I used to have a Muslim coworker, and we used to be able to debate and whatnot. And
you got along with Muslims?
You know, yes,
wow.
I did. We used to just
how impressive.
Sit and talk. And
with a Muslim?
Phrase,
that's shocking, Josh.
Voice.
Wow.
Yeah, and so,
you're very courageous, sir. Have you had any conversations with gay people?
Because I'm friends with gay people.
Wow.
I have family who are gay.
Right.
You know, I'm a very fair person.
Black people. Do you know anybody who's black? Have you talked to anybody who's black?
I'm just saying
okay.
I'm a fair person.
All right.
I don't, you know.
All right. So,
you know. So anyway, okay.
Yeah.
So about this whole election thing. I don't think anybody's going to be disenfranchised. From what I've heard, that people are going to be bussed around and they'll be paid for these IDs. So I don't see a problem with anybody for at least another year. I don't see how they're going to be so busy that they're not going to be able to get to a place that's paid for.
I got you. Okay, let me respond, and I'm only cutting you off, not to be uncivil, but just for the time's sake here, the clock.
That's fine.
We had a similar law that was put in place in Indiana, and they said the same thing and in 2008. And what we saw was 80, 90-year-old nuns who were turned away from the polls because they don't have driver's licenses, because they don't drive, because they're 80 or 90-year-old nuns, and their own sister, who knew who they were, turned them away from the polls. We saw this happen to veterans. We saw this happen to students. Now, voting is a right. It is not a privilege. It is not something that you have to drive an hour to go to the office pay $100 to get a birth certificate or a passport in order to do. People will be disenfranchised. And if even one is disenfranchised, Josh, that's how rights are determined. When one person loses their a constitutional right, the law is determined to be unconstitutional. So yes, I promise you, and especially in an election where you had, you know, if you heard the last hour, 204 votes separating these two candidates, I promise you that hundreds of thousands who don't have photo IDs will not be able to vote legally in the state of Wisconsin once their voter suppression law takes its full blossom next year.
Even if they're getting these IDs, they're still not going to be able to vote.
If they have an ID, they can. If they don't, they can't. And by the way, Josh, if you move between now and the election, your driver's license will say one thing, will be different than where you have moved to, unless you quickly change your driver's license. You will be committing voter fraud.
From what I understand, they're not looking at the address. They're looking at the ID.
So why aren't they allowing student IDs?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
I'm a fair person.
And it has a very good answer, and I'm not trying to cut you off or be a jerk here, but it is a good question, and it has a really, really clear answer if you stop and you think about it, because the creators of this bill were able to find no instances of voter fraud that would have been stopped by this disenfranchising photo ID bill. Okay?
All right. I don't think people would be... as long as they're getting shipped back and forth and actually get the IDs, I don't think there's going to be a problem. I respect, what you're putting out there, though. It's something to think about, certainly.
It's the right to vote, Josh, and it should not be impeded. There are people dying to this at this moment for that right, and that's the most important thing.
I absolutely agree.
Thanks, brother. I appreciate your fairness, and say hello to those Muslims for me, okay?
Absolutely.
Take care, Josh.
Have a good day.
All right, bye-bye. I so much want to get to... Okay, you know what? I'm going to do this. I'm going to go to... I know, I have to... We'll play the Green News after the break. Let me go to Barbara, because she worked like hell on this this recount to oversee what was going on, if this is the Barbara I think it is. Hey, Barbara, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show.
Brad, thanks for doing this. My God, we can breathe again for a few minutes. Listen to you talk. It's like Hotel Rwanda over here. The word is just not getting out. And can I just say something real quick to the guy who just called in?
Yeah.
See, my beef is that it isn't that I'm not going to argue the voter suppression bill is a voter fraud. If these people are not elected in and they push this bill through at 100 miles an hour and they're not really elected, you don't even talk to me about the budget. Don't talk to me about voter fraud. Don't talk to me about...
So your question, Barbara, you're questioning that the people who passed this law are even there, are even correctly in office or were correctly elected. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, and you said it when you said, see, in my complaint to the GAB, because I was the one that found the poll tape dated at 1:40 a.m. 5 days before.
Correct.
My complaint to the GAB said, much like what you said earlier, about they couldn't prove that it wasn't fraud.
Yep.
It's a double negative, but that's the point.
Yep.
Is that they cannot prove to me. They cannot come back and go, well, look, Barbara, you know, here's how many votes were counted. He is, and those I could respect. You know,
they can't prove that the ballots they were counting were the ballots that were counted on, that were cast on election day.
If
a bank has my money, they need to be able to prove that they have the amount of money that they say I have. I mean, but there is no accounting in the state of Wisconsin for democracy, for these ballots. They haven't even, the GAB didn't even look at the minutes that were recorded over a month of this recount in Waukesha before they said, oh, yeah, it's all fine. It's certified. It's extraordinary.
Yeah.
But
right. we're gonna get it under control here. But just real briefly, I know you got to go.
I do.
My feeling is that everybody out there, if you don't stand up for your vote, then you're gonna leave it for them to steal to use against me.
And I want you to stand up not only for your vote, Barbara. I want you to stand up for everybody else's vote. I want you to stand up for Democrats' votes. I want you to stand up for Republicans' votes. I want you to stand up if the Democrat ends up winning by 204 votes and the Republican has a question, I want you to support that Republican in their quest to oversee the numbers to make sure that those results are correct. Look at the long term, not the short term. No one election is worth hiding democracy inside a black box from the people. You want self-governance, you want oversight. Join me, whether you're Democratic, Republican, or anything else, in demanding oversight and self-governance by we the people. Barbara, I got to get to a break. Thanks for all the work you're doing out there. Really appreciate it. Good luck with these recalls. Brad, in for Mike Malloy.
I do believe. If we weren't so down, we'd up and leave. Stop the world and let me on. I'm tired of going round and round.
Yes, I certainly am. But there's no getting off. This is Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy on the Mike Malloy program. Mike's back tomorrow. Don't worry. Desi Doyen is coming up shortly. And we got one more call that I want to try to get to who has been holding for a while. Adam in, there we go. Adam in Enterprise, Alabama. Hey, Adam, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. What's on your mind, sir?
First of all, thank you for having me, sir, and good evening.
Good evening.
I just want to say I'm actually native of Illinois. I'm from Carpentersville,
mm-hmm.
Illinois, just shy of the border. And what I see in Wisconsin is to be honest, disturbing. But this is a symptom of a bigger issue, which is that the modern-day Republican Party has no regard for democracy. They only want power. They only want control over us.
Right.
If you're gay, you can't marry. If you're a woman, you can't have an abortion.
Mm-hmm.
And if this keeps up the way it is, and I'm convinced it will, because they want America stupid. They want to cut education because they want your kid to think Rand Paul deserves to be in the U.S. Senate. But America's going to fall unless we come to grips with reality, which is Republicans, conservatives, are a cancer on the body politic of America, and you don't negotiate. You don't talk to them. You get rid of it. You vote it out.
Well,
Yeah.
Well, if you believe it's cancer, then you absolutely do. But, you know, by the way, since you're in Alabama or near Alabama, it ain't Wisconsin.
I am.
Okay, Wisconsin ain't the only nightmare. Ask Don Siegelman what happened in his 2002 election when they flipped the votes in the middle of the night, according to him, on the Diebold touchscreens out there in one of those counties.
There are crooked politics all over the place, like I said. But you see this almost exclusively on the right side. Scott Walker doesn't want to be a governor. He wants to be a dictator. Bush didn't want to be a president. He called the Constitution a GD piece of paper.
Well, he reportedly did. We don't know whether he did or not. But, yeah, no, listen, I hear you, brother. And what's so disturbing to me about it is the fact that the all those things that you went and listed went down the list, you know, that they don't want you to vote, that they don't want you to have health care, that they, you know, want to get between you and your doctor. These are all the things they pretend they're against. They say they're against big government, but they are in favor of big government. And that is not conservative. And I've, you know, given hell to – I've actually gave hell to Rachel Maddow about this. She sort of stopped last couple of times I saw her. She sort of stopped using the word conservative. She had been saying big government conservative. No, they're big government Republicans. They're right-wingers. Yeah. They're extremists, but they ain't conservatives. But listen, Adam, I got to roll. I appreciate you getting on here.
Thank
and
you
using
for having me, sir.
You, I appreciate your using your airwaves, your public airwaves, to a good purpose. Good luck to you, brother. Good to hear from you.
Thank you. Good
you
day.
Bet. All right. When we come back, he's absolutely right. When we come back, Desi Doyen will be joining us for some green news. All these Republicans who also don't believe in science. Oh, man, this just gets more insane. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. Stay tuned.
It's not easy being green. It seems you blend in with so many other ordinary things, and people tend to pass you over because you're not standing out like flashy sparkles in the water or stars in the sky.
It's not easy being green if you're a Republican presidential candidate these days. Man alive, John Huntsman, Mitt Romney, T-Paw. Oh, they made the mistake of saying they believed in science. We're going to speak with Desi Doyen, my co-host on the Green News Report. She is the managing editor of that Green News Report, heard on fine progressive radio stations around the country. If you don't get the Green News Report, please call your progressive radio station and ask them to add it. We would love to have them, new affiliates. It's free to them. It's only 6 minutes. How hard could it be? As a matter of fact, though, you folks out there in San Francisco are going to hear it, I think, at the top of the hour. We're going to play it for the rest of the world right now. Hey, Des.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, Des. We're
going
to play the green news, and then we're going to talk to you live, all right?
Awesome.
Let's roll some green news report from today.
It's Tuesday, June 21, 2011.
And today, I'm a candidate for the office of President of the United States of America.
Another Republican global warming non-denier enters the race.
My kids can't believe I just said that.
Neither can we, Mr. Ambassador. The U.S. solar industry now employs more people than the U.S. steel industry. Bad news for the world's oceans, good news for those who like to lie about them. Plus,
and Papa would say, I've had all I can stand, and I can't stand no more.
Inspiration and dedication from the antidote to cynicism, Van Jones.
All of that and more straight ahead. I'm Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
By the way, Rick Perry isn't just talking when he says spiritual solutions. Back in April, faced with a devastating drought, Rick did what any solutions-oriented 21st century civil servant would do. He proclaimed a day of prayer for rain. Because we're ancient Mayans now.
Well, that's real funny, Bill Maher. We'll see who's laughing in 2012. Check the calendar, Maher. This is your Green News Report. Okay, Des, you see, that was a Mayan joke, a Mayan calendar.
They
2012,
said if the world's going to end in 2012.
All coming to an end. Okay, now you get it.
Is there any connection between the 2012 presidential election and the end of the world as predicted by the Mayans?
Just wait for it.
Yes, green jobs are real. A new report shows that the U.S. solar industry, which has seen explosive growth over the last 5 years, now employs more people than the U.S. steel industry. At the moment, solar employs about 20,000 more Americans than steel.
And explosive growth is the only thing likely to explode in the solar industry,
unlike the oil industry and the nuclear industry, and press on.
The Grand Canyon is safe for now. The Obama administration has extended the ban on new uranium mining on the 1 million acres of land surrounding the Grand Canyon, but only for 6 months until a new environmental assessment can be completed. The Wallow Fire in northeastern Arizona is now the largest in state history, but contrary to Senator John McCain's assertions over the weekend, there is zero evidence that the record fire was caused by illegal immigrants, according to the U.S. Forest Service.
That's what John McCain said, and he blamed illegal immigrants. No evidence. All right.
A new entry in the race for the Republican nomination for the 2012 presidential election. Former Utah Governor John Huntsman announced his campaign on Tuesday with the Statue of Liberty as his backdrop. Huntsman, positioning himself as a centrist Republican, says he supports the scientific consensus on climate change, and in his 2008 campaign for governor, supported cap and trade as a system to reduce emissions.
Until we put a value on carbon, we're never going to be able to get serious about dealing with climate change longer term. Now, putting a value on carbon either suggests that you go to a carbon tax or you get a cap and trade system.
Oh, well, there goes John Huntsman's hope for the GOP nomination.
Oh, yes, times have changed. And like his fellow contenders, Mitt Romney, Tim Pawlenty, and Newt Gingrich, Huntsman has now completely reversed his position on cap and trade and says the economy is now too weak.
Mitt Romney reversed his position?
On cap and trade.
Ah, so he believes in global warming, just not doing anything about it.
That's right.
Got it.
But the evidence for action on climate change is piling up anyway. A new report has dire warnings on the health of the world's oceans. The preliminary report from an international panel of marine experts gathered by the International Program on the State of the Oceans warns that the health of the world's oceans is declining much faster than anyone predicted. The panel concludes that the combined forces of global warming, overfishing, pollution, dead zones, and accelerating ocean acidification, when taken together, are more rapidly deteriorating the ocean conditions faster than predicted. And they do warn that entire ecosystems could be lost within a generation unless steps are taken to reduce those factors.
And as fast as that report came out, Fox News already found a way to call it a complete hoax because the authors of the report issued a small correction, and they're using this to say, look, they're hoaxing the American people with false facts. Oy.
Finally, it's easy to lose hope and momentum in fighting for a cleaner and more just world. But Van Jones, the former White House advisor on green jobs, says never give up. Speaking at the progressive conference Netroots Nation 2011 over the weekend, Jones called on activists to come together and defend the American dream for everybody.
We don't want the Tea Party movement to suffer the catastrophe that would result from their victory. We stand in, we don't just fight against our opponents. This is a moral movement. We fight for them, too. We fight for them. We fight for them. It's a moral movement. Let's be clear. I'm mad, but I'm not hateful. No, we love everybody. We're the Deep Patriots.
Deep Patriots indeed, Van Jones, and we join you in that call. Yes, we will work for the Tea Partiers, even as they are busy working against themselves. For more on that and the other stories we did not get to today, please check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. While you're there, please consider a donation to help sponsor the Green News Report. We are listener-supported radio, not corporate-supported radio, and we rely on you to help us stay on your public airwaves to keep telling the truth. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Just tea for two and two for tea. Just me for you and you.
So there you go. Today's Green News Report. Well done, Des.
Thanks. Well done to you, too. Nice choice of tea for two for the Tea Partiers.
Did they get it? You think you get it?
I got it, finally.
It took you a while?
Took me a while.
All right, we're back live on The Malloy Show. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. That was our Green News Report. And as I mentioned, if you don't get that, we do that a couple times a week. If you don't get that on your progressive station, call them and ask them for it. We'd love to give it to them for free. And by the way, if you do have it on your progressive radio station, I know the folks at Green 960 are going to actually hear it if you're listening live at the top of the hour here again. Sorry about that. But if you do have it on your progressive radio station, call them and thank them.
Yes, let them know you like it so they'll keep it on there.
They won't know
unless you tell them.
Indeed. Now, John Huntsman, he enters the race. Here's a guy who 2 years ago, as we heard in that clip, said what? We had two options concerning global warming.
Yes, a cap and trade system, which is a Republican policy idea that was started by Ronald Reagan and the first George W. Bush. And they
did,
he also
it worked successfully for them when
for
Reagan and Bush did it,
as
right?
Well, for the ozone hole.
Yeah.
And yeah, and Huntsman said very specifically that, you know, he was in favor of either a cap and trade system or a carbon tax. The dreaded word tax came out of his lips, you know. But now he has retracted that, and he says now that oh no, we can't handle that. Yes, we do agree that there is something going on, that the climate change is happening and it is a bad thing, but we shouldn't do anything about it.
Expensive. We must do nothing about it.
And of course, completely ignoring all of the data that shows that all of these regulations actually do have a very strong economic benefit. For example, every regulation that the EPA puts in, for every dollar on the Clean Air Act and the Clean Water Act, for example, it's returned $30 in economic benefits.
Well, you know, these Republicans had been running around for the last couple of years. Where are the jobs, Mr. Obama? Well, if you put jobs, if you put money into green technology, that's where the jobs are. Weren't you saying earlier today that the solar,
that we now know that the U.S. solar industry now employs about 20,000 more people as of today than the U.S. steel industry.
And that each dollar spent on the green, wasn't it you I was talking to? Maybe it was this other girl. But anyway, it was each dollar spent on the solar industry brings more jobs than a dollar spent on the oil industry, on the fossil fuel industry. Is this ringing a bell?
That's not ringing a bell, but it sounds right.
All right. Well, it is right.
It is because
you told me.
Okay,
if I'm wrong, I'm blaming Des, and she's taking no credit for it. Okay. So anyway, John Huntsman believed, like Sarah Palin did, like John McCain did, like anybody sane does who looks at science, that we had a problem with global warming and that cap and trade was the market-based conservative solution. And now, of course, he's backed off. That's John Huntsman. Tim Pawlenty actually apologized for this. He was in favor of cap and trade when he was the governor of Minnesota.
As of 2 years ago, he was in favor of cap and trade. And then there was the Republican debate that happened, I think, it was last month, I believe, where he actually apologized.
He did. And here's a clip from that, Tim Pawlenty apologizing.
Governor, I told you it was going to be a problem for you down the line. You now say that that was a dumb mistake, but weren't you, in fact, far more committed to cap and trade over those years than you now let on?
Chris, what I said to you on that day and what I've said many other times is this. We did consider and sign into law legislation in Minnesota that would study cap and trade, but we didn't impose it. We signed up to look at it, to review it, to study it, to join with other states to look at it, and we did.
So he said, that, does it go on or does it stop there? Oh, it goes on. Yeah, he's basically saying, well, we put it into practice, but we didn't really mean to. And please don't hold it against us. Keep
and what I concluded subsequently is it's really a bad idea. And this is not in the last 6 months. I sent a letter to Congress, I think about 2 years ago, and at other times have said, I was wrong, it was a mistake, and I'm sorry. It's ham-fisted, it's going to be harmful to the economy. We all, everybody here and anybody else who's going to be running for president, if you've got a, or considering running for president, if you've got a executive position and you've been in the battle, you're going to have some battle scars.
So
you're going
to have a few. So he apologized for actually taking action on something that he actually believed in, Des.
Yes, he was very quick to backtrack on his own position.
And then, speaking of backtrackers, we've got Mitt Romney, the other
non-climate change denying Republican who's running for president.
Climate change denying Republican running for president, but refusing to do anything about it, Mitt Romney. We got a clip of.
I believe the world is getting warmer. I can't prove that, but I believe, based on what I read, that the world is getting warmer. And number two, I believe that humans contribute to that. I don't know how much our contribution is to that, because I know there've been periods of greater heat and warmth in the past, but I believe that we contribute to that. And so I think it's important for us to reduce our emissions of pollutants and greenhouse gases that may well be significant contributors to the climate change and the global warming that you're seeing.
Well, that sounds rather reasonable, Des.
It does, but he also agrees that we shouldn't do anything about it.
So,
because cap and trade, well, you know, hey, that's just going to be too expensive, and it's really, really more important that the economy be okay now than, oh, I don't know, the extinction of the oceans.
Cap and trade is okay for those lefty commie pinkos like Ronald Reagan and George Bush seniors, but not for a good conservative like Mitt Romney. But even saying that he believes the globe is warming, even saying that earned him the ire of Rush Limbaugh the minutes after Romney spoke and had the temerity to say,
yes, I believe the science shows us that it's warming.
Here's what he got in return from Rush Limbaugh.
Bye-bye nomination. Bye-bye nomination. Another one down. We're in the midst here of discovering that this is all a hoax.
Yes, that's what we're discovering.
The last year has established
yes.
that the whole premise of man-made global warming is a hoax.
It's established, it, Des. It's established. Haven't you been paying attention to the last year, Des? It's a hoax.
I know. I've heard that it's apparently a hoax that involves hundreds of thousands of scientists over the last 150 years. It's quite the conspiracy that they have going.
And yet they haven't let on any evidence that it's a great big hoax. That thousands of scientists over decades, frankly, in how many different Earth
science
Well,
since the beginning of climate science when this was first figured out, which was 150 years ago.
Yeah.
So that's a long time for conspiracy theory.
It's
to keep
a long, but Rush is on it. We've got more. Rush thinks global warming is like Santa Claus. Let's take a quick break here. Coming back with Desi Doyen of the Green News Report. Get more at greennews.bradblog.com. Brad in for Mike. More Desi straight ahead, and then your calls. Stay tuned.
One pill makes you larger and one pill makes you small, and the ones
that... Science is real, from the Big Bang to DNA. Science is real, from evolution to the Milky Way. I like those stories about angels, unicorns, and elves. Now, I like those stories as much as anybody else. But when I'm seeking knowledge, either simple or abstract, the factor is science.
Science is real, unless, of course, you're a Republican presidential candidate or you're Rush Limbaugh. Brad Friedman here on the Mike Malloy Show, in with Des. Hey, Des.
Hey.
Desi Doyen for just a few more minutes here talking about the Republican presidential nominees and the fact that they have been scared to death that guys like Rush Limbaugh and the rest of the right, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, the fossil fuel companies, have scared these people to death that if they should even recognize that global warming is actually going on, they will be
hounded out of office.
Destroyed.
Hounded out of any kind of public life in the Republican Party. It's true.
Because we all know that global warming is a great hoax. And folks, by the way, on not on the right, folks on the left also have been fooled into believing this. They think that it's a new world order. It's a line Al Gore's pocket. I don't know if we call those people on the left or not. You know, the Alex Jones folks.
Well, you know, there's a legitimate question. There are two different issues that are going on here. One is the science. The science says, what the science says, you know, the preponderance, the full overwhelming evidence of thousands of scientific studies, 98% of climatologists actually say this is happening. Humans are causing it. It is going to be bad and we need to do something about it. And then you have the other part of it, which is the policy response. Now, people often confuse the two because, of course, if you admit the science, if you acknowledge the science, then you're going to kind of have to do something about it.
Well, Rush Limbaugh is not. Bless you, Tony. We all heard that.
And they really don't want to do anything about it because their business model is directly challenged by it.
Exactly. And Rush Limbaugh is not going to do anything about it. He's not even going to acknowledge that it's real. You got Rush, I think this was a couple of days ago. Here's what Rush had to say about it.
You know, folks, belief in man-made global warming is a lot like believing in Santa Claus. It's fun. It's fun to believe in it for a while when you're a kid, when you're a child, but it's a costly myth to continue believing in as you grow older. And it's certainly not the kind of thing any serious political candidate ought to believe in.
So that's Rush. Going on how many stations going on around the country, 600 affiliate stations, telling people that it's a hoax, that it's like Santa Claus. Science is like Santa Claus.
It's pretty mind-blowing, and it's so however many listeners Rush has on any given day, they all are getting this completely false information.
Here's one Republican presidential candidate, however, who we had as a guest on our show right here on the Mike Malloy Show last Thursday in studio. I think the only one so far that I know of who actually makes some sense here. Fred Karger, when I asked him about global warming last week.
What's your opinion on climate change?
Well, I'm looking into it. I think, you know, it's a problem out there. I love what California's done. I'm talking about that all over the country, the mandate here that we need wind and solar to deliver 30% of our electricity
by
2020.
Do you believe climate change is happening?
I do, yes.
Do you believe man is a cause of it?
I do.
And you believe that the government has a role in doing something about it?
I do, and the world should step up to the plate on this. Go to Mexico City and just breathe the air and see the brown air. And I've not been to China, but I hear these horror stories. We need to be responsible. We're in this on this planet. We need to take care of it.
Outrageous. Take care of this planet, Des?
It seems like a crazy idea.
No wonder they won't let him in the debates on CNN. That was Fred Karger. You can get more information on fredkarger.com.
And I think he has whosfred.com.
Does he?
Who is right. Fred or
something
who is,
like yeah. that. Yeah. Well,
Fred who. No, it's fredwho.com.
Well, if you're not, you know, if you're not voting in a Democratic primary up in New Hampshire, why don't you give Mitt a surprise and vote for someone like Fred Karger? Des, well done. Good to see you. Good to talk to you. Desi Doyen from Green News Report.
Greennews.bradblog.com.
Oh, smartly done. We'll be back.
Oh.
Mike Malloy Show. Brad in for Mike. Stay tuned. It's a great song.
Time was right, the night was long. Remember Desiree. Oh, Desiree.
Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. 6 minutes after the hour, it is Brad Friedman, your friendly citizen investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, wiseacre all around. Swell fellow drafted into duty to be your broadcast media for one more hour. Right here on the Mike Malloy Show. After this, I'll be back at bradblog.com if you want to find me. Like Brigadoon, I only appear every 150 years or so, and then I disappear and whatever. Mike Malloy will be back with you tomorrow night right here on the Mike Malloy Show Wednesday. Wednesday after his summer break is over. When will I be back again? I don't know, but I do look forward to it if they'll have me back, if you all will have me back. Thanks for having me over this past week. It's been great. And now we are going to open it up momentarily to your calls at 877-520-1150. This is your last chance, at least while I'm around, to get on here and use your public airwaves. Your public airwaves. What is left of them? What you are allowed to use anymore that don't include guys like Rush Limbaugh telling you that global warming is like Santa Claus. We don't believe in science. 877-520-1150. Call now. And even, by the way, if you're a Tea Partier out there, if you had any objections to anything that I said during this show, a right winger, whatever you want, now's the time to call because you know, Mike doesn't like talking to you guys, but I don't mind it. I'd like to hear from you. Last hour, we had a guy who was said he was a right winger, but that he was so fair-minded that he has spoken with Muslims before. So you see, it takes all kinds. We're glad to have you. 877-520-1150. All right, before I go to these calls, this is an unbelievable story. This is what we have come to in this nation. Here we go. James Richard Verone of North Carolina spent his whole life playing by the rules and staying out of trouble. Having worked as a delivery man for Coca-Cola for 17 years, Verone was known as a hard worker and an honest man.
Yet when he was laid off from Coca-Cola 3 years ago, Verone was desperate to find work. He eventually found employment as a convenience clerk, yet he began to notice a protrusion in his chest. He developed arthritis and carpal tunnel syndrome, and soon the pain became too much for him to bear. He filed for disability, but he was denied any sort of coverage by the federal government. So early this month, as the Gaston Gazette reports, Verone drove to a local RBC bank and told the teller he was robbing them for a dollar. He said he wanted to rob the bank in order to go to jail and get medical coverage. Verone didn't want to scare anyone. He executed the robbery the most passive way he knew how. He handed the teller a note demanding $1 and medical attention. "I didn't have any fears," said Verone. "I told the teller that I would sit over here and wait for the police." Verone says he's not a political man, but he has a lot to say on the subject of socialized medical care. He suspects he wouldn't be talking to a reporter through a metal screen wearing an orange jumpsuit now if such an option were available in the U.S. "If you don't have your health care, you don't have anything," said Verone. The man has high hopes with his recent incarceration. He has seen several nurses and has an appointment with a doctor Friday. The ideal scenario would include back and foot surgery and a diagnosis and treatment of the protrusion on his chest, he said. Verone told the local press he would like to serve in prison long enough to be able to get out in time to collect Social Security benefits that he paid into his entire life. He also hopes to be able to retire along a beach someday. Verone says that he doesn't regret landing behind bars and that he had no choice. "Between continuing a life in pain and choosing prison, he is happy with his decision. If I had not exercised all the alternatives, I would be sitting here saying, 'Man, I feel bad about it.' But," he says, "I picked jail." The United States is the only wealthy country that does not offer comprehensive universal health care to every citizen. In no other rich country would anyone be faced with such a choice. Okay, America, are you proud? Are you happy what we have become? This man is robbing a bank for $1 so that he can get medical care in jail. For all you conservatives out there, folks who consider yourselves conservative, who believe in the Bible, who believe in helping your brother, who believe in helping the poorest among us, think about James Richard Verone of North Carolina, who had to rob a bank for $1 so he could go to jail to get medical care for the protrusion in his chest. What the hell has this country come to? Let's go to Jerry. Jerry, cheer me up. Jerry in Pampa. Pampa or Tampa? Where are you, Jerry?
No, it's Pampa.
Pampa.
It's,
Pampa where? Florida?
Texas.
Oh, Pampa, Texas. All right. Welcome. Yeah. Welcome to the show. Cheer me up, Jerry. What's on your mind, brother?
I'll cheer you up. I'll get you in a cheery mood here.
Okay.
I wanted to mention a couple things. You know, do the Republicans still own all the radio stations, or 90% of them? You know, in the Republican noise machine, they had a chapter in there,
mm-hmm.
David Brock's good book, about the
yes, they
radio,
do.
AM radio stations were bought up, I believe, by the Richard Mellon Chase and a lot of them.
Yeah, the corporate ownership, yeah, still the situation. 98% of what America is allowed to hear on their public airwaves is right wing talk radio. A little bit under 2%, I believe, is not right wing talk radio. Is progressive,
you know,
or other things?
Let me mention something. We had a great guy on KGNC in Amarillo,
mm-hmm.
who broadcast. His name was John Terry, and he broadcast. For several years, and he was really he's an attorney, and he had a talk show, And he would really tell it like it is.
Yep.
And he had good ratings. I know he had good ratings, but they claimed that they had to cancel him for because he didn't have good ratings.
Yeah.
And that's a lie. Now, you know, you mentioned that we just don't have airwaves anymore. What little we have, we got idiots like Rush Limbaugh on, and that's mm-hmm. who's on KGNC. And I'd like everybody to know that KGNC in Amarillo is you know, has all the right-wing stuff on. And so we don't get represented in this area.
Listen, most people don't, Jerry. I hate to say it. Most people do not get progressive radio where they live. They have to go online or pay money on satellite to get it. Democrats have so far been fine with that. Even the Democratic advocacy groups, many of them said, well, the future is the Internet. So we're not worried about the public airwaves and the fact that millions of people, you know, every day, more people listen to Rush Limbaugh alone in one day than the entirety of Fox News primetime lineup at night. More people listen to Glenn Beck in one day on the radio than entire Fox News primetime at night. Same with Sean Hannity. You know, these are your people's airwaves, our airwaves, and the fact that the Democrats are doing nothing to restore them to we the people is why we are in this mess that we are in, Jerry, as far as I'm concerned.
You have to wonder as we look back over the yep. years. I'm disappointed in America that they would reelect Bush in 2004, that they would get him in to begin with. I'm disappointed. But you have to wonder, would George Bush have made it into office had we not had this situation about the Republican noise machine controlling the AM radio station?
He absolutely would not have, Jerry. But the other thing you have to wonder is if he actually won that election in 2004 at all. I've not seen any evidence that he has that's convincing. And the evidence that I have seen is more convincing that he probably didn't win.
It's a moot point now. What's happened is it changed our country.
Yep.
I just wonder what we can do about this. I mean, there's another law, too, that they changed. I believe Reagan changed it, that an individual could not control the radio stations, the newspaper, and the TV in a city. Now,
does
Murdoch control that, and what market does he? I've forgotten, but he controls that in several markets.
Oh, yeah, sure. He does. Clear Channel does. There's about five or six huge corporations that now own, or at least think they own, all of the airwaves. But you're confusing two points, and I got to let you go here, Jerry, but real quickly. Ronald Reagan in 1987 dissolved the Fairness Doctrine, which required alternate point of views on the airwaves. And then in 96, the Telecommunications Act by Bill Clinton, signed into law by Bill Clinton, that was the one that allowed all of the corporations to buy up all of our airwaves in all of the cities. So, they got to roll back the Telecommunications Act and start bringing fairness and balance back to our airwaves. What an idea!
Thanks for letting me have a little bit of say there.
I'm really glad to. Thanks for calling in, Jerry. I really appreciate it. Good luck down there in Texas, my friend.
Bye.
All right. You're listening to Brad Friedman on The Mike Malloy Show. Back with more of your calls right after this.
You run in the world. And if that's all we have.
That's nice. Somebody called in to ask where they can hear me when I'm not doing the Mike Malloy Show. In fact, I am doing a very short show on Wednesdays, 3:30 Pacific time on KPFK, the Pacifica radio station out here in Los Angeles. Each week, Wednesdays at 3:30, if you want to listen in, kpfk.org, or just read the Brad blog where I try to post those shows every now and again, or start calling your stations and tell them you want to hear from me more often. I'll be happy to come back. 877-520-1150 is our phone number. These are your public airwaves. Use them or lose them. And Justin Time in the chat room said, did I just hear Brad say that there was evidence that Bush did not win in 2004? Yes. Yes, there is that evidence, Justin. And if anybody ever got to count the ballots in, actually, Richard Hayes Phillips got to count the ballots in Ohio, the paper ballots in Ohio in 2004. And I believe he concluded that, in fact, the election was stolen. And I will tell you this, that in Cuyahoga County, where they were asked for a statewide recount, Cuyahoga County, the two of the top election officials were sentenced to the maximum sentence for having gamed the recount. Now, why would they do that? The recount, by the way, that was asked for by the Greens and Libertarians, not by the Democratic candidate, John Kerry. All right, 877-520-1150, whatever's on your mind. Doesn't have to have anything to do with elections. Can have anything to do with anything you want. And let's try to get through a bunch. Oh, one of our new favorites here, Lady Cab Driver from Los Angeles, one of our favorite chat room babes, calls in. Hey, LCD, how are you? What's on your mind?
I'm hanging in there, sweetie. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. Good to hear from you.
It's good to hear from you, too. Well, I'm going to try to bolster your mood and all that, because I have had a hell of a day. I have had Republicans one after the other in my cab, and I've been yelling at these people all day.
Big tippers? Are they big tippers, these Republicans?
Some of them were, but good. I had this older couple, and we came to a consensus that they think that this whole Paul Ryan thing is crazy. They're both retired. They're both on Social Security. And they're like, this is ridiculous. What do these people think? So these are Republicans. And they're like, all of us are not crazy, honey, I promise.
Voting to kill Medicare as we know it. They think they're Republicans, and they think Paul Ryan's bill to his plan to kill Medicare is crazy. Good.
It's crazy. But what I was calling about was basically for us as Democrats, well, I'm not really a Democrat because they're spineless, shiftless people who,
shiftless. It's okay. Shiftless. Tony had his finger on the dump button. He was so worried about it. All right, shiftless, yes, yes,
shiftless,
go ahead.
People, because if these people who are in office at the present time were in office back in the day, I would still be a slave, not able to vote, in jail because my son's father is white. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I am not giving up on the fight because the people before me did not give up on the fight. And we as progressives, I call myself a black liberal, pinko, commie, bleeding heart, progressive liberal.
Okay.
Whatever it is, I don't care what it is, but I know we cannot give up. I'm not going to give up. And as a matter of fact, I go out we're both in LA, so we know that the 405 freeway is going to be closed the whole weekend next month. So instead of me sitting at home, you know, being pissed off about that, I'm going to Nevada, one of the battleground states.
Yeah. LCD, I hung up on her before we could find out what she was going to do in Nevada. Call right back, LCD, to tell us what you... Completely my mistake. I'm really sorry about that. But here, let me make up for it by going to Nevada momentarily. Ron is in Nevada, in Winnemucca, Nevada. Call us right back, LCD. My apologies. Hey, Ron, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. Sorry about that, LCD. What's on your mind, Ron?
Hey, Brad, how you doing? Good afternoon.
I'm okay.
Listen, I want to ask you a basic question obviously nobody for the last, 10, 15 years has brought up. Why is there no other network, and I don't consider MSNBC a liberal network, why won't somebody start a network counter Fox? I mean, just flat out 24/7 like they do counter Fox. I mean, are you telling me there are no millionaire, billionaire Democrats out there, or anybody who leans left?
Well, there actually is a millionaire Democrat out there by the name of Al Gore, who has
What? Okay, so what the hell is his network? You can't find it on the regular cable.
All right, hang on, Ron. I'll come back to you. I got a quick break, and then I'll come back to you, Ron. And Lady Cab Driver is back. See, you should never let this blogger guy in here. He just punches all the wrong buttons and everything else. You're listening to Brad in for the Malloy. More of your calls. LCD returns. Ron's last thoughts. All of that straight ahead. Stay tuned.
For a little while, like a tree by the river, I'm holding on.
Well, they're building a gallows outside my cell, and I've got 25 minutes to go, and the whole town's waiting just to hear me yell,
I got 24 minutes to go.
Actually, we only got about 25 minutes to go here right now on the Mike Malloy Show. 34 minutes after the hour. Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com in for Mike Malloy for a few more minutes. And then the Malloys, they will be returning tomorrow night. 877-520-1150. If you'd like to get in on the conversation and use your public airwaves for anything you like, well, almost anything you'd like, now's the time to do it. Don't wait. And where are those right-wingers? They always complain that I invite them. Hey, come on in, right-wingers, and then they don't call. But we got a lot of others of you waiting, and, of course, some people I hung up on and everything else. So stand by, Lady Cab Driver. I'll be back to you in a second. But first, let me finish up with Ron. Okay, Ron, I was saying, you said, why aren't there some lefties, some liberals, some Democrats who open up a station to compete with Fox? And I started to say that Al Gore actually has such a station called Current. He hasn't been trying to compete with Fox, although now he might because he's got Keith Olbermann and they just started last night and everything else. So what's your problem with that?
Well, what's the problem? I mean, the problem is I can go home in a couple of weeks when I do get home, turn on my cable, and I'm pretty sure Current TV is not going to be there, but Fox will still be there, correct?
That's right. Well, I don't think it's going to go away. You may not have it yet. You may have to pay an extra tier to get it, as I do, which is absurd, but that's the way it goes.
But you get the point I'm trying to make. As long as we don't get something to counter Fox, and like I said, I have never considered MSNBC anything near liberal. As long as we have nothing to counter the lies that Fox put out, you know, this nonsense is going to keep going on. And let me just make one more point to everybody listen to me. And Mike is the only one that keeps bringing this up. There was one other guy, but he passed away down in Miami. His name was Neil Rogers. I've said this before, I'm going to say it again, and I thank Mike every time when he brings this date up, which is December 12th, 2000. And you know very well what day that is.
Yes, I do.
Okay. When that day happened, and the very next morning you didn't have millions of people in the street, literally, I'm not advocating violence here, but revolting, that gave an absolute green light to this gangster of a party.
Yep.
And when people right now are sitting, why are Republicans so heartless? Why are they so mean and blah, 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 blah? Go and look back to that date. Okay,
December 12th, the day that the Supreme Court decided the 2000 election.
Died.
Right.
The day democracy died. That's what I
hear you.
Call it, okay?
You're absolutely right, Ron.
So to everybody out there listening, you know, saying, why do Republicans say, you people gave them a green light for this nonsense and this insanity that will keep continuing until we literally get out in the streets and I should say throw the bums out because most of them.
All right, Ron, I gotta go. I gotta go. You made your point, and you are, of course, 100% right. Good job. Let me get back to Lady Cab Driver, who now I don't have nearly enough time for her. But Lady Cab Driver, you, sorry about that. I screwed up on the phones. It's like you breathe on these buttons and they hang up on people. So, all right, you said instead of getting dour, you took a day off. You went to Nevada, and then I hung up on you. What did you do in Nevada?
No, next month I'm going to Nevada when the 405 is closed for that weekend.
Right.
And so I'm going to Nevada to help register people to vote because Nevada is a battleground state. And my point being is that we need to all get out and do something. We need to go to our representatives' offices and get into their faces and say, look, we voted you in, and you ain't doing anything. So unless you want, if you want to keep your job, you need to get up. You need to crap or get off the pot.
Well done. And I agree. Get busy, get to work, make noise, raise hell. Go to Nevada and register some voters. Be careful if you do it down in Florida. You can now be arrested or thrown in jail for that. It's incredible. But thanks for fighting back, taking action, and making noise, Lady Cab Driver. You rock. Glad you found the Mike Malloy Show, and I look forward to talking to you next time I'm on.
And you shall, my dear. You shall.
All right. Thank you, darling. all right. Bye-bye. Let me get 877-520-1150. You still have time to get into this broadcast, if you like. Anything you'd like to talk about. The guy from PIMCO, by the way. This billionaire who runs this huge fund, the Bond King,
PIMCO says that this deficit-obsessed Congress has to get back to reality. He says this is insane what they are doing over the debt limit. This is concerning the debt limit. This is insane that they won't put money, stimulus money, into jobs, into putting back people to work. Cutting taxes does not create jobs. Did I say that loud enough to get out over all of the airwaves where they're telling you that cutting taxes has anything, or cutting spending has anything to do with creating jobs? Neither of them do. Let's go to, on the debt ceiling, Warren in Revere, Massachusetts, which is, of course, where Paul Revere made his favorite, his famous ride to warn the British and fire the whistles and ring the bells. Right, Warren? Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show.
Hi, Brad. Hey. Yeah, that debt ceiling. I guess I called in to be a bummer.
Go ahead.
Every month or two, you know, the Republicans are up to some new extortion mechanism, you know. I mean, whether it's the tax cuts for billionaires, or they're always holding something hostage, you know, to these catastrophic cuts they want to make, you know. And this feels almost like the big one, you know.
We'll see how this is real bad. We'll see how far that they are willing to push this, how far over the cliff that they are willing to run America, the U.S. How far they're willing to bring this country down in order to get back in power. But I would put nothing by them, and I hate to say that. I hate to say that because I would like to see a strong Republican Party, to be honest with you. Because this insane Republican Party just serves to make Democrats soft. They've got nobody to, you know, to really fight about ideas over. So the Democrats are, you know, out to lunch on this because the Republicans are crazy. They're just crazy. But you knew that, didn't you, Warren?
Well, they're crazy, but I mean, I think I would rather see the Republican Party deconstructed and rebuilt from scratch.
If that's what it takes.
At this point, because it's gotten so extreme now that I don't think there's any rehabilitation for it.
I hear you, brother. Thanks, Warren. Appreciate the call. 877-520-1150. 877-520-1150. Let's go down to Florida, Gainesville, Florida. Fred joins us from Gainesville. Hey, Fred, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir.
Hey, I have one, well, actually two things I'd like to bring up, but I'll be quick. I am conservative. I'm not a Republican. I'm a conservative. But it would seem to me about your idea on progressive radio versus conservative radio, it's still a capitalist system that we're running here.
Right.
And if the progressive ideas were selling and would sell to the public, which would bring in advertising, it would seem to me that they would put it on, they being whoever owns the station,
it
on regardless of the
idea. Good point, Fred. Well, then let me ask you this. Why does Stephanie Miller, whose studio I'm broadcasting from here today, why does she go up against Laura Ingraham and she beats her in city after city where they go head-to-head at the same time in the morning, and yet Stephanie Miller is only on 40 stations, 40 affiliate stations, and Laura Ingraham is like on 400. How do you explain that?
I am just a truck driver out here, and that was my idea, that they would put it on regardless of what the idea was. As long as it sold advertising, it shouldn't matter.
Actually,
they're in the business to sell it.
Yeah, and you would think that was the case, but here's the deal. There is no competition in radio. There is no market forces in radio. The corporations buy up the licenses for these. They don't buy, they get them for free, but they scoop them up, and then the big corporations run a progressive station and a conservative station, and they can decide who they advertise advertise for and who they don't, who they push and who they don't. I happen to be sitting in a studio right now. A few feet down the hall is this great big right-wing station that goes out over dozens and dozens of states, can be heard over dozens and dozens of states. This station I'm on, I'm lucky if I can hear it in the parking lot sometimes. So they had to choose which radio frequency are they going to put the right-wingers on and which are they going to put the non-right-wingers on. Well, the right-wingers are on, over a dozen states. The progressive stations, good luck hearing them. There's a reason they do that, and I would argue, and by the way, you can go out and look this up. You can look up the threat that was made, for example, to Air America by a whole bunch of advertisers like McDonald's and Home Depot, and said that if you run our advertisements on any progressive stations, we will withdraw all of our advertisements. And
that I did not know about.
Yeah.
I have not heard that, sir.
My point, that's exactly my point, that there is, that the system is rigged, that there is not real competition, that this is not real capitalism by any stretch of the imagination, and that progressive that radio is rigged to keep progressive voices off the air. It is not there is no fair and balanced. There is no competition. It is rigged to support the corporate interests who own access to that airwave, to those airwaves.
I mean, I'm not doubting you.
Yeah.
It just seems that's counterproductive to capitalism. They're cutting their own profit margin by doing this.
Yeah, but you know what? They can make more money in other ways if they continue to trick people into voting against their own interests and to allowing these corporations to do whatever they damn well please, because, guys on the right, folks on the right will, keep arguing absolute nonsense. Global warming is like Santa Claus. It's a hoax. Therefore, leave all of the oil companies alone. And that's what happens. And that's what we do. And so the corporate interests win and we, the people, lose. Fred, I do got to run, but I do appreciate the call. And look into it. Look it up. You'll see. It is not fair and balanced out there. And this is not a battle of ideas. This is a battle of corporate ownership. Thanks, Fred. Appreciate
the
call.
I appreciate it.
You betcha. All right, let me get to, do I have a call before break here? Okay, we'll get to one more. Who do I got here? Ron in Prescott. We're going to have to do this very quickly. Hey, Ron, welcome to the Molloy Show, sir.
Yeah, you opened up, Brad, asking why we were in Afghanistan. And
yeah.
The story about Pat Tillman tells it all. He was writing letters home to his family telling them the only reason he was there was to protect the opium fields to keep the Taliban from burning them because the Taliban doesn't approve of opium trade.
Well, the good news is the opium fields are back. Everything is fine. Yeah. So can we now please get the hell out of Afghanistan?
Yeah, and let the CIA run the opium trafficking.
There you
drug.
Go. And then everybody will be happy. Ron,
yeah.
I hear you, brother. I got to get to a break. Appreciate the call, Ron. 877-520-1150. You still got a few minutes if you want to get in on your public airwaves. Brad in... What are you looking at me, Tony? You're giving me looks. Did I screw up again already? What did I... It's okay? All right, we're okay. 877-520-1150. We are back for our final segment on the Mike Molloy Show. Mike returns tomorrow. Cheer up, America. You're listening to Brad on the Mike Molloy Show.
Well, it's all right, as long as you lend a hand. You can sit around and wait for the phone to ring. Waiting for someone to tell you everything.
Goodbye with a smile, dear, just for a while, dear, we must part. Don't let this parting upset you, I'll not forget you, sweetheart. We'll meet again, don't know where. Don't know when, but I know we'll meet again some sunny day.
We will indeed. My thanks tonight for, my thanks all week long to my pal, engineer Tony Sorrentino.
of LA's K-Talk AM 1150. Tony, thank you very much. I'm still calling him T-Sore, even though he said it sounds like a medical condition. Also, my thanks to producer, call screener, chat room babe, and tonight, my guest, Desi Doyen. Thank you, Desi. You do a great job, as always. Of course, thanks to Jeannie Dean and Dale, who are helping out in our chat room as well tonight and all week. Really appreciate it, guys. Let's see, who else do I need to thank here? If you're listening on MikeMalloy.com, please stay tuned for Head On with Bob Kincaid. Bob Kincaid is back. Yes, he is. Anybody else? Oh, yes, Mike and Kathy Malloy. Thanks, guys. Welcome home. Thanks for letting me in here for the week. Really appreciate it. Glad to talk to your great, great audience. And we will be back again soon with your permission and look forward to it. All right, 877-520-1150. Time for just one or two more calls if you want to get in. Let's go to Sarah in Oakland. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, Sarah.
Hi.
Hi.
This is Sarah Sees with the dated and dumped metaphor update.
Okay.
From Derision 2000 to the bore that was 04 to the date in 08 that may not have been completely blind, but we now know this one has selective hearing. He can hear the American crops. No, not the coffee maker makers, the military industrialists, big business, nukes, and coal. He denies he needs a hearing aid to use with his base, who supported and finished him to the point that he turns a deaf ear to his own rhetoric. Well, I want to hear your voices, so if people leave their name, their number, and a good time to call, I'd be back to them as quick as Romney's alleged voter fraud had him moving to a relative's house, but not yet the White House. Brad, you're fun. Thanks. Nice to have you this week.
Nice to be had, and nice answering machine poem, Sarah. Appreciate it. Keep up the good work.
We change them every week.
I know you do. Keep it up. Well done, and give my best to Mitt when he calls. 877-520-1150. Mark in San Francisco. Welcome to the Malloy Show, sir.
Yes, Brad. I wanted to bring up a point here that, you know, they're talking about this deficit reduction with the Republicans, and the Democrats are going along with this this rhetoric, and, you know...
Yeah, they're falling for it again, aren't they, Mark?
Yeah, they're falling for it. They're letting the Republicans dictate this agenda, and it's ridiculous.
Yep.
And what's more ridiculous is every proposal by their presidential candidates is more tax cuts for the rich, which means we're going to have more deficits. It is totally ridiculous to sit with these people and talk about cutting all these programs when all they're going to do is just take the money from the middle class and transfer it over to the rich.
Yep.
And let me ask you something, Brad. Can you tell me one thing the Republican Party's done for the working middle class in this country for the last 30 years? Just one thing?
No, I cannot.
Well, I think that answers it. Anybody that votes Republican, they're just destroying this country, brother.
Well, you know what? I hear you. And I would like to know what they've done for the middle class. I would like to know what the hell cutting spending has to do with creating jobs. I would like to know what cutting taxes has to do with creating jobs since, well, you know, we had low taxes. We actually have the lowest taxes since the 50s. We've had these Bush tax cuts for the last 10 years. But where are the jobs? They are, of course, nowhere to be found. Thanks, Mark. The other question I would like to know, by the way, is, you know, all this cutting you folks want to do. I don't hear him talking about cutting, military or the wars that we're waging. I hear them talking about cutting services to the poor. And then they say, well, we all have to sacrifice tough economic times. All right, fair enough. What service do you actually get that you would like to cut, that you would like to do away with? I'm asking this to you right-wingers who think we need to all share this sacrifice, because I have a feeling you would like to cut services, but not services that you actually enjoy. Not your roads, not your fire department, not your police department.
just other people's services. Hey, thanks for a great week, everybody. You can find me on bradblog.com if you're looking. I'd love to see you over there. And you can also follow us 24/7 on the Twitters at TheBradBlog. Thanks, America. Keep it lit.